Hey, friend. This week on the podcast, I'm joined by Daniel Lockman, founder of Justice for Artists. Daniel's an artist and a longtime Etsy seller who has dealt with his fair share of creative work being copied. And instead of just being frustrated by it, he has built an entire platform to help other creatives protect what they've created. Now, in this episode, we're getting into the realities of art theft in today's digital world. We talk about the difference between counterfeits and knockoffs and why this matters more than you think. I didn't know there was a difference. So listen in for this. We also talk about what protections you actually have as a product-based business owner and how to start taking action if your work is being copied. We also dig into copyright, what that really means, when it's worth it, and what happens if you decide to enforce your copyright rights. If protecting your designs, your products, and your brand has been sitting in the back of your mind, or maybe you've had some other company steal your art, this is a conversation worth paying attention to. Also, a quick note before we dive in, Daniel created a step-by-step tutorial showing exactly how to apply for a copyright. This is a video tutorial, and we've made that available inside of our Labs community for our members. So if you are already in Labs, go check that out. It's in our tools and templates section. And if you're not in Labs, this is exactly the kind of support we offer inside the community. Real tools, expert guidance, and resources to help you run a stronger, more protected business. You can learn more and join us at proof2product.com/labs. All right, let's get into it. I'm Katie Hunt, wholesale expert, business strategist, and mom of four. I'm also the host of the Proof to Product podcast. Since 2011, I've coached thousands of brands whose products can be found on the shelves of indie shops and big box stores all around the world. If you are a creative entrepreneur that makes and sells physical goods, you're in the right place. Here on Proof to Product, you'll learn new strategies for product development, sales, marketing, and more. It's like your weekly dose of business school, and we're going to help you confidently grow your revenue in your own way and at your own pace. So let's get started. Hey, Daniel, welcome to Proof to Product.
Thank you for having me.
I'm really excited to meet you and talk to you because the service you're providing to artists and creators is just incredibly valuable. So thank you for what you're doing on a day-to-day basis to support folks.
It's my absolute pleasure.
On that note, let's tell the listeners what you do. Tell us about your business and how you help artists and creatives.
Absolutely. I started Justice for Artists a little under 3 years ago. Prior to that, I was an artist myself. I still like to consider myself an artist. And I ran an Etsy store for, I think, 17 years or so.
Nice.
Yeah. The quick story is I started a t-shirt company in my parents' basement, got on Etsy and Amazon, and I used to do all the weekly markets, pop up my tent. It got fairly large. I had a good run, but of course, I was dealing with a lot of counterfeits. Once you get popular, that comes with the territory. And so I didn't really know what to do for the majority of my artist career. And then right at the end of it, I linked up with the right legal people who walked me through everything you can do. I realized that that information was greatly needed. And I basically, my company had a nice run. 17 years was good, but I was ready for something different. So I closed up shop, started Justice for Artists, and we've helped over 100 artists at this stage. And we are hopefully the people to go to.
That's amazing. So how common is it? I feel like asking this question sounds silly because I feel like you and I live in this world every day where we hear about it. But for our listeners, how common is it that artists' work is actually being stolen and counterfeited right now? It feels like it's just getting more and more every single day.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. I mean, it's ubiquitous. It's everywhere. It's an absolute nightmare. Obviously, the introduction of AI into this conversation is making things even easier to counterfeit. And so, yeah, it's extremely pervasive. I mean, you have sites like Shein where the majority of the products on their site are counterfeit. And, you know, we work a lot with artists trying to help them with any sort of Shein stuff. It's so crippling for the artist, both mentally and financially. And then you have consumers who, at the end of the day, don't really know if they're buying it from the real artist or from a knockoff. It can be very difficult to discern if you're actually shopping from the place that you want to be shopping.
I also find that folks don't know this happening. So a customer might tell them they saw something somewhere, whatever. What are the most common ways that people are discovering their designs have been ripped off? And what should they be watching out for?
Absolutely. So I would say the majority of people, if they have a decent following on social media, typically we see that if, you know, one of their followers or fans reaches out to them and kind of links them to it, there's a nice social network. The good side of Instagram is you've got people watching your back, hopefully. And so usually it starts there, and then they might not know what to do, or they might've heard about our Justice for Artists, and then they'll kind of reach out and show us what's going on, and we'll kind of guide them through what the best steps would be, or if we can take on a case for them.
So what are your first steps? Is sending a simple cease and desist the right first step for somebody? I mean, obviously calling you if they can see if you can help would be the first step. But from there, what should folks be thinking about or doing?
Absolutely. Well, I think this would be a good moment for me to explain the difference between a counterfeit and a knockoff. And so the first thing you want to do is figure out, is this product that is copying you an identical counterfeit? Is it really one for one what your product is? Or, you know, maybe if they change the colors or something like that, that's not going to be significant. But on the other hand, let's say you have a cat design and someone draws another cat design that is your idea, so to speak, but it's executed differently, that all the features of the cat are different and so forth. Unfortunately, ideas cannot be protected the same way that the execution and the final product can be protected. So the first thing we do is we figure out if you have a case that we can help you with, or if you're unfortunately just a victim of a knockoff, which is unfortunately the end of the road that you can't really do anything about it.
Really? It's the end of the road if it's a knockoff. Okay.
Yeah. For example, if you type in any popular phrase on, you know, Etsy looking for a t-shirt, you'll see a million different versions of that, because no one can really protect that unless it's a trademarked phrase. But if it's just, you know, something trending like Tequila Club or something like that, you know, nobody's going to really be able to control that. And also, if you search, for example, of a dumpster on fire, which was, I think, the theme of 2020 and forward
and on,
you'll see a million different dumpster fires, because no one can properly control that entire idea. They can just copyright their specific dumpster fire.
So for something to be a counterfeit, does it have to be 100% identical? Or what if somebody changes the color or something, you know?
It's a bit of a gray area. You know, I've heard things like if it's 70% the same, or people throw out numbers and stuff like that. But at the end of the day, it's if you look at them and put them next to each other, and it's you get the feeling that they were copied from one another, that it's clear that there's enough elements, artifacts within the design that if you see, because there can also be, it can get quite complicated with something called circumstantial evidence, where they might start shifting around your elements in your design, but they're all still there. It's a case by case basis, but it really depends how lazy the counterfeiter is, if they're just going to try to. And so we hope for the lazy ones. Those are usually the good ones to pursue.
Okay. So what should our listeners be thinking about to protect their work? Are there things they could be doing proactively to prevent some of this? Tell me about it.
Absolutely. So let's say you've got a clothing line and you've got, you know, 100 products and you have 5 bestsellers per se. And let's say they start doing really well and they are items that you can copyright. They're your artistic artwork. You can preemptively, if no one's copied you yet, you can file a U.S. copyright. The process is fairly straightforward. I'm happy to share a tutorial with people. It takes less than 10 minutes. You can do it online. It costs $65 for a single copyright, or it would be $85 if you want to copyright a collection together, which can be, I think, up to 10 designs. So I would recommend you to do that. And so it takes about 3 to 4 months for the copyright to register, but it's a game changer in terms of if somebody counterfeits you after the registration. So let's say you see someone like a big brand that's stealing your design, like an Urban Outfitters or something. If you had the copyright registered prior to their infringement, you'd be entitled for something called statutory damages, which means not only can you collect all the profit that Urban Outfitters, for example, made, but you can also pursue them for damages because they willfully infringed on your copyright. Now, on the flip side, if you find that they stole from you before you made a copyright, once your copyright registers, all you would be entitled for in that specific instance would be the total profits that they had generated, period.
So the copyright process, you recommend it early on in the process, doing things in batches if possible to save some money and to keep it simple. We do a lot of inner programming. We talk a lot about releasing new product because most of my folks are selling wholesale twice a year. And so that's something that they could be working into their production schedule of like, okay, we create the art, we file for the copyrights, we put it through.
Yeah. And now I was a poor artist myself. And so I can completely relate to the expense of $65 a copyright.
Yeah, it gets tough.
Especially if you have hundreds of products and stuff. So I'm not suggesting that you copyright everything you make. I'm simply saying you can come out with the item, you can watch how it goes for a month or two. And if it's really going to be one of your best sellers, then I would definitely suggest, especially if you've been counterfeited before and you know that you're on the radar of counterfeiters. My goal is for you to be economical with your money, but also to protect yourself.
Yeah, the balance is really important there. If you're on the radar of these people, do you find that people are getting retargeted over and over again?
Totally, totally. So unfortunately, for example, one of our clients who runs Paper Bunny Press, which she comes out with a calendar every year, unfortunately, her calendar will be counterfeited for every year to come. And we will hopefully be there to help her collect on all the counterfeiters.
Sam's one of our community members. So yeah. Oh, that's heartbreaking for me to hear, though.
Well, we have a very juicy case that we're working on with her. The weird silver lining of this whole counterfeiting is multiple times, like a lot, an artist, when we finish working with them and we send them their check for however much we were able to collect for them, they'll tell me that they made more money collecting from the counterfeiters than they ever did for selling the product themselves. So weirdly enough, people are very upset when they come to us with the counterfeit and can leave very happy when they get their checks.
Well, I will say, you know, we have a lot of conversations in our community where people are like, oh my God, I saw my product on Shein and like it sold 10,000 units. And I like am not selling 10,000 units. And this is like so frustrating to me that there's a mental game that happens there too of just feeling really disheartened by it all.
Absolutely. And just on the note of Shein, something else I should mention is that there's a situation where you have a marketplace versus a direct infringement. So Shein in particular is interesting because now, the majority of the listings on their site are through third-party options. So when you're shopping pretty much anything out of their apparel categories, you know, stationaries or anything like that, in the bottom right corner of the listing, you'll see something that says, this is sold by XYZ through Shein. And the same thing happens on an Amazon or an Etsy. So what that means is that Shein, they've protected themselves in a way that if you tried to pursue that listing, Shein could use the DMCA complaint and be like, well, we're just the marketplace for that one.
We're just going to take it down.
We'll just take it down. And so sorry.
There's no accountability.
There's no accountability. And there's not much you can do about that XYZ small store. It's really not worth pursuing. So of course, you know, the question that always pops up is, do we help you get this removed or do we actually pursue this as a legal case? And so I think the first question you asked me was something along the lines of, should I send out a cease and desist? Absolutely not. You should consult us first or anybody that you're working with legally, because if you contact them and they remove the listing or it disappears or something and you didn't place like a test purchase and you didn't get all your evidence, your case is just gone. So it's super important to lay low, so to speak, and kind of like plan your attack before you actually execute it.
This is super strategic and like a lot of information that a lot of people probably don't understand or know, because their instinct is going to be like, take it down. I want it down now. But to your point, kind of letting them dig their own grave of providing the evidence so that you can argue for more money or whatever damages you need.
Sure. Sometimes we'll see that there's an infringement on a certain website and they have a little tracker of how many sales they've done, and we'll let it sit for a certain, we'll talk to the artist and see if they're comfortable letting it sit for.
Just let it roll.
Yeah. And then we'll hit them when it gets to the right time. So that's happening right now as we speak.
Interesting. That's interesting. Okay. You talked about, you know, things are getting harder with the AI generative art and things like that. How is this correlating to copyright law right now?
Sure. So currently, if someone puts your art, and this has unfortunately happened to a number of artists we know, that they put their entire portfolio through AI and it spits out very similar artwork, but all of the elements have changed, it's quite difficult to build a case against the store. There's an artist who does landscapes, and a company in Vietnam basically took his entire portfolio, threw it through AI, and is selling it as digital downloads to color them in.
Oh my gosh.
And unfortunately, it's not really at this stage, there's not really a ton you can be doing because these are all considered knockoffs. And going back to our earlier conversation, you know, before AI, if someone was dedicated to knocking off your store, they could hire artists to recreate all of your designs one by one, do it. It would take time and money, and it can be done, quote unquote, legally. And now AI can do it in 2 seconds. And so the story hasn't changed. It's just become much easier. And so, yeah, it's something that I'm really struggling with. I mean, it really takes a toll on me hearing artists saying that this is happening to them. Now, AI is not bulletproof in the sense that circumstantially, they might have a case that if all of the elements from their original design are spit out in the AI, there could also be artifacts in their design. Like maybe if you have a signature in your artwork and you can make out that the AI attempted to manipulate your signature, but it's still there on the output, that would be enough for you to have a case. So I do highly recommend, I don't know, depending on what kind of products you make, but if you have a logo or your own signature, to include that in your artwork, and then to go the extra mile of potentially trademarking that, a trademark infringement is exponentially more valuable in a case than a copyright infringement. So if someone, basically the point is that if there's a confusion to the customer, if they go to buy the item and it has your company's name on it and they place the order, but it's from another company, that is very confusing and can be a huge case.
Absolutely. Okay. You are a wealth of information, and this is very clearly nuanced. I would love for you to share with our listeners, if an artist finds themselves in a pickle like this, they want to utilize your service, what does that process look like for them? They contact you, and then what happens?
Sure. So our firm, Justice for Artists, is completely on contingency, which means we work with any artist, small or big, and our goal is for you to never pay anything out of pocket. Of course, a lot of people think we're a scam because that sounds too good to be true. But luckily, we've got, you know, over 100 artists who can refer, you know, be used as referrals, and you can talk to them about their experience. But basically, you reached out to us with whatever's going on with you, whether it's your music got stolen on Instagram or anything that could be protected legally. So it could be your music getting stolen. You could say your artwork's in a movie, or the majority of the stuff is I found my design on XYZ website, and you know what we're saying too.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and what do I do? Although I get excited when it's weird stuff. Like we almost had a case where we were going to go after an Apple TV show based on a music video. Unfortunately, we didn't have a strong enough case, but it was a TV show that I watched, so I was kind of excited at the idea. But anyway. But back to, yeah, so someone reaches out to us and they say, this is what I'm finding. This is what's going on. Can you help? We'll take a look at it. We'll let you know. If it's going to be a website like Temu, or, you know, if it's a marketplace case like Shein or something like that, we'll probably just refer you to kind of someone who can just get it removed for you. But then if it's what we consider, you know, looks like a valuable case, we will want to work with you and send an artist agreement and get you connected to a law firm that would be able to run the case for you.
Okay. So you guys aren't actually lawyers that are running the case. You're kind of the intermediary.
Yes. I am knee deep in copyright stuff every day, but I myself am just an enthusiast. I think my term is infringement agent, which means I bring hundreds of cases to law firms and I just look for infringements.
Yeah. But you also have an eye for it because you've been in the market, you know, you've experienced it yourself. So
yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So beyond financial recovery, like you mentioned already, of getting money back for things that people were slighted, I'm curious, what do you see as the emotional or business impact on artists that you've worked with after they win a case? Like you said, they come in feeling really grumpy. If they win, they leave feeling happy. But there's also like that does something to us as artists too.
Yeah, no, it's an extremely rewarding job. I just got an email from an artist today and she walked me through all the things that why the settlement's going to be such a big deal for her life, which is just very touching. I think the most rewarding stuff I see is that we work with an artist who stopped posting on Instagram years ago because their art was getting stolen, and we got them their money back and we were there to protect them. And I noticed that they started posting again, and that made me feel really good.
Oh, it's the little things. It's the little things. Oh, this is awesome. Okay, Daniel, there's so much good stuff here. I know you've got really great resources on your website too. Tell folks where they can contact you if they want to work with you or find out more about your services.
Absolutely. We are justiceforartists.com. You can either write it with F-O-R or the number four.
Smart.
And you can find us on Instagram at justice_for_artists. And either way, reach out to us. We'll be there. We've got a good team and we are here to protect the artists.
Awesome. Is there any like final words you want to leave people with of encouragement or just like something that they should be aware of and be thinking about?
Sure. Just know that there is a resource for you that's there to protect you in case your art is being stolen. You're not alone. It happens to thousands and thousands of artists and it's wrong. And it's not the kind of thing that you should just bury your head under the sand for and just try to move on. It's something that you need to, if you do not penalize these counterfeiters for stealing your art, they will just do it again and again. Because if you just send out cease and desist, and it's just a whack-a-mole game. So you really need to consider taking it to the next level, because once you've attacked these counterfeiters and you've taken money back from them, they will stop messing with your stuff a lot of the time.
Yeah. Sometimes you got to punch back to protect yourself, huh?
There you go.
All right. Daniel, I really appreciate your time. I think what you're doing, again, is incredibly valuable to the artist community. And I know you've helped so many people already. We're excited to like share this with our folks. I hate that people are being ripped off. I hate that they're having the counterfeits and the knockoffs and all this stuff. But to have a resource to go to say, this is happening to me, what can I do? I think is really helpful. And not just like to gripe about what's happening, but to find solutions or potential opportunities that can come out of that. So
that's why we're here.
Thank you for the good work you're doing, Daniel. I appreciate it.
My pleasure.
I really appreciate the work that Daniel and his team at Justice for Artists is doing. I hate that this is a service that our industry needs, but I am very grateful for the support and help that they are providing folks in our community. So if you have had an instance where your art has been copied or stolen, please do reach out to Daniel and his team to see if they can help you. All of his links are in the show notes. Also, if you want to see Daniel's step-by-step video tutorial on how to apply for a copyright, be sure to join Labs, our community for product sellers. Inside of Labs, we not only provide you with tools and resources, but we connect you with other creative business owners who are at a similar phase of growth. We were not meant to build these businesses alone. Come join us at prooftoproduct.com/labs. Again, that's prooftoproduct.com/labs. Thank you for hanging around till the end. If you enjoyed today's episode, if you learned something new, please share it with a friend or your followers. The more visibility we get for our show, the more high-quality content we can continue to bring you every week. Thanks for being here. I'll be back soon with a new episode.